This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Reese. You are listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Have fun.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 374 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? This is Ed, and welcome back to the show. On this week's show, it's time for the Wheel of Attractions. Every time we do this show, I can't wait. It's such a fun time. And here's who we have to do it with us tonight. First, we have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
What's up, Ed? Happy New Year. Let's spin that wheel, baby. I'm ready to talk Disney World.
Oh, yeah, so am I. Now, also, tonight we have some special guests. As you know, the Disney Nerds Podcast has a couple different things always stirring around. We've got Womp Rat Radio, I do with Sam and his friends, and Jimmy. And we also have our Dreamfinder Radio. We have our Facebook pages, and we have our Disney Nerd Podcast blog. Well, for tonight, we have a couple guests from some of those other ventures. From the Disney Nerds Podcast blog, we have one of our writers, Christy. Hey, Christy, how's it going?
Hey, Ed, I'm really happy to be here tonight.
Well, we're happy to have you. Now, Christy's down in Orlando and has a really, really great website blog called Orlando Decoded, which you got to check out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Thanks for mentioning it. Yes, we cover the theme parks in Orlando, as well as a lot of the local attractions and some of the local events and other things going on. So we really explore the city and all it has to offer.
Very cool. Now, along with us also tonight, we have somebody that's been with us for a long time, helping us out with our Facebook page and just being a great Disney nerd friend. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hey, everyone. So excited to be here.
Oh, we're excited to have you. So you've been listening to the Disney Nerds for such a long time. We really appreciate everything you do for us on our Facebook page and the moderation and such like that. If you had to explain our Facebook page out there to everybody, what would you say?
It's a great place to go and just immerse yourself with other Disney nerds. And even if you can't make it to the park, maybe live vicariously through some other people. Learn a few tips and tricks for your new next trip, or even some fun trivia. So just a really fun place to escape to on Facebook.
Excellent. We're always out there, all of us who do the podcast and do the other live shows we do. So we're always checking out the different posts, putting our opinions. But most of all, I like to hear what you guys have to say. Like Melissa says, I live vicariously through some of the posts when people go to the parks or they're planning for their trips or basically showing off their arts and crafts and such like that. It's just such a fun place.
Absolutely. And you nailed it into what the Disney Nerds is all about. And it's family, and you guys are welcome. This is great. I let's spin that wheel, man.
Well, and as Sam's pointing at, tonight is a Wheel of Attractions show. So for those that don't know, the Wheel of Attractions is something that we do every so often where I take the big carnival wheel that I've been keeping in my office for no reason other than this, and put all of the Walt Disney World attractions on it.
So you found that when you took the Christmas decorations down, that's what you're saying, Ed, right?
Well, it's been laying around. It actually was up in the attic while the decorations were down here.
Got it. So you switched them. All right. Either way, it's out of the dust. It's dusted off. It's ready to go.
It is. So with all the attractions, we put some of the different things you could do in the parks on the wheel also. And what we do is spin it. It'll then land on one of those attractions, and we're going to start talking about it. The joy of this is that we don't know what it's going to land on, so we had no way to prepare. So it's truly a live brain dump, a mind meld. It's basically a sharing of ideas and experiences we've had with this attraction. You guys ready?
Who's spinning
first? I'm
ready.
Spin it.
Okay.
One of the newbies should spin first there, Ed. I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. Well, we're going to go Christy first. So what I'll say is, Christy, you can go ahead, spin it as hard or as light as you can, but it must go around one full revolution. So go ahead and spin it when you want to and let us know how it goes.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. There it goes.
Nice.
That's a hard spin. So it's going to keep on going around, and I see a lot of good ones up there. The Orbiter. The Country Bear.
Keep going.
Slowing down. And it's a Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith. That's
nice.
A good start. That's a really good start.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely a must-do when in Hollywood Studios.
That's right. So, Christy, tell us a little bit about the Rock and Roller Coaster, and then we can kind of go into our experiences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is definitely one of the larger attractions in Hollywood Studios, or at least it was one of the cornerstones for a while. That's not so much true anymore.
Oh, it still is.
For anybody listening that may not know, one of the cool things about this roller coaster is that it's themed after Aerosmith. So you're actually getting into a limo on your way to an Aerosmith concert, and you get to fly by some LA icons on your way to that concert. So honestly, my first thought, though, when I saw the wheel land on this attraction, is the massive headache that I get every time I ride this roller coaster. It's such a fun ride, but it hurts me.
Well, you know what? It kind of ties into my wife one time rode it. She had big hoop earrings on. We got off the ride. Ooh. The hoops were in figure eights. They were destroyed from her being back and forth and banging around on that. So I kind of get where you're coming from.
I have similar experience with my wife, Ed, and it's more of a, if you're a little shorter, you're kind of going to get jostled around in there. You got to make sure you hold yourself steady, but I understand where you're coming from.
Sure. Although one of my favorites.
Yeah. I always thought it was interesting that Disney had initially approached you too to be the musician for this ride, and how they had landed on Aerosmith, and, wondering what you all think of if they should update it to be a newer band.
So U2, or wasn't it No Doubt that was rumored to be in those talks early on, and they landed on Aerosmith?
Were they there too? Okay, yep. Yeah. I've always heard U2, but
Aerosmith.
Just how they kind of landed on that was really interesting.
Definitely Aerosmith, the better choice, I think.
I think so too, although the one thing out the right, and this is where we go in every darn direction out there. There are only two attractions in Walt Disney World that are themed by a property that is not owned by Disney, and this is one of them.
Oh, I didn't know that. So it's owned by somebody else?
This one and the Tower of Terror, which is right next to it. Which means Disney's paying a royalty check. And you know they don't like that. So when you say re-theme, it's going to be a Disney property if that ever happens. And of course, there's been rumors. But I love it the way it is. Leave it how it is.
Oh, sure. It was just down, I think, last week or the week before for about 5 or 6 days. It sounded like, major maintenance.
That was the first thing I thought when I saw that pop up when it stopped on it was I had seen it's the Rock and Roller Coaster's down again today. It's down again today. It's back now, but I don't know anything about what was happening.
Yep. One of my favorite single rider line rides, which is on hold for right now, of course. But
I was going to say the same thing. I really like the single rider line component of the ride.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yep, definitely, because not a lot of people. Everybody has their way with Rock and Roller Coaster. It is, you're going upside down. Although it is a very, very easy rolls they do, in my opinion, roller coaster wise. But since it's in the dark, some people get a little bit more freaked out. I think it's great.
I do too. It's one of my must-dos when I'm in Hollywood Studios as a thrill seeker, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And perfect ride to get to in the morning. If you kind of avoid the whole rush to Galaxy's Edge, you can kind of do the whole Tower Terror Rock and Roller Coaster thing in the morning before you move on with really no lines.
That's sort of where I was going, because half the crowd's headed to Toy Story Land and the other half's headed to Galaxy's Edge. The other direction is awesome.
Right. One of those empty areas.
Down Sunset Boulevard.
Grab your Starbucks while you're waiting for the rope drop, and then head on over onto the right and hit up Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror right away.
Yeah.
Sure.
I got to bring up something for this attraction that we haven't mentioned yet, because I love it. The pre-show. to the form.
Right. Now,
make it a super stretch. It's really quotable. I love that.
It is classic. And if you have a chance to get in there for the full show, it's always a bonus. I was lucky enough to see Disneyland Paris Rock and Roller Coaster. And it was cool in that they have a different show, pre-show, in that they're designing the roller coaster. Aerosmith and some engineers and such like that. So I thought that was different. But then you went right into the same room for the roller coaster.
I remember when this first opened, there's a line in the pre-show where I think it's Joe Perry says, "Hey, can you grab my Les Paul?" And they used to actually have somebody that would walk out and grab the guitar and walk back in. They've since replaced that with somebody, you know, tapping him on the back saying, "I got it for you. Don't worry about it."
Right.
But it was kind of cool early on that they added that element of a cast member coming out and grabbing that guitar every time the pre-show ran.
Made it more realistic.
It made it super realistic. And I think that pre-show is just kind of cool. That was directed by Jerry Reese, who's been on the show before, and something I'd love to ask him questions about because it looks really cool the way they worked it out.
Now, what's also cool about that ride is just as you're waiting to get into the pre-show, checking out all the posters. Been in there a lot of times, but I still haven't grown old looking at all the different old rock and roll band posters and concert posters.
Which some of those are now the magic art or whatever they call it. They change. Mm-hmm. In the main rotunda there. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before. And this was clearly before COVID and some of the restrictions, but I could not walk through those doors without running my hand across all those marbles.
The marbles, yeah.
Because I love that.
Not anymore, but yes, before.
Exactly, before COVID. Give me a glove, please. Okay, now I can do it.
Yeah. Oh, geez. We're going to talk about a lot of those things we used to do. Okay, so Rock and Roller Coaster, good start for 2021. And just as a reminder, everybody, if you've been listening to the show before, you've heard us do the Wheel of Attractions. We usually remove the attractions once we do it, so we don't repeat. However, 2021, we're starting fresh. So if you do hear a repeat here and there, don't worry about it. Odds are we're going to hear something new about it anyway.
That's right. I'd love to speculate someday on what we think would come there because we've heard so many rumors about the next phase of what happens from an intellectual property point of view, but we don't have time for that now.
And you know what? And one last thought about it is that I still have yet to get on Lightning McQueen, the attraction right behind it now.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
Which I've yet to be on that.
It's hidden back there.
Right.
Yeah, you have to almost like you're going to get in line, go past the queues for Rock and Roller Coaster and keep on heading to the right. And it's just tucked back there. And it's a lot of fun.
Okay, well, cool.
It's really cute.
Almost got on it once. We were in the theater and they had to take everybody out of the theater. That was as close as I'd gotten. So next time. Okay.
It's got to be a code 101 or something like that.
It was.
I don't know.
It was exactly that, actually.
Okay.
It was a protein spill.
That's it.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We'll spin it one more time. And we'll spin it again. So now Melissa is up. And go ahead, Melissa. Spin it anytime you want.
All right. Here I go.
Okay. There it goes.
The odds are small that you're going to get the same one again. If so, I'm putting some money down next time.
Yep. Okay, here it
goes. It's 2021. You never know what could happen.
This is true.
Slowing down. And it's House of the Whispering Willows.
The House of the Whispering Willows. Is that like an extinct attraction? What are we getting to here?
Is that in China Pavilion?
I don't know off the top of my head, actually.
I think it is.
Immediate
Wonders
thought.
Of Shanghai. So is it the gallery to premiere the Shanghai Park?
Yes. So I have been through this.
Yeah, I really enjoy this park.
I didn't know it had a name. I just thought it was like the preview center for Shanghai.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's a Disney name.
So explain where this
is again.
I
was close. I said China. Yeah, I really love this exhibit or pavilion, part of the pavilion in China, because I can't wait to go and visit the Shanghai Park. And I think the costuming that they premiere and the photos all are really immersive and almost museum-like, but also trying to get you excited to maybe someday take the trip over there.
Yeah, nice. So if I remember right, this is when you go inside the China Pavilion, going to the show. It's off on the left in sort of a gallery on the side.
I just
put
two and two together. This is where the terracotta soldiers were for so long.
That's correct.
Yes. Where they had them from the China. And okay, perfect. I did actually make it through here one time when they had right at the beginning of the Shanghai exhibit. So it was pretty cool seeing all that stuff, definitely.
Yeah, and seeing the differences with their, you know, the different lands and how they're going to be different. It was cool to see. Although, I'll be honest, the first time you spun it, I'm thinking, House of the Whispering Willows, isn't that the Pocahontas thing that used to be at Animal Kingdom way back when? With the Grandma Willow tree? But, okay, that's where my mind went.
That would have been a good guess, too.
Yeah, yeah. But so that whole area is really nice, and I like how they keep refreshing it up with different things. So after the Shanghai parks have opened for a while, I guess we'll be looking forward to something new.
Yeah.
Kind of like Japan does that with that whole area behind inside the castle, I think it is, where they have different exhibits. They had anime one time, then they had tin robots or tin toys another time.
Yeah, right now it's Kwai.
It's Kwai right now? Okay.
Yeah, we it's just a heard... cute culture.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we just heard that over at American Adventure, we have the Seoul thing that's coming in, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. That little area right to the right of the American Adventure waiting room. Sure, sure. So they have a...
February 1st, I think. Is that right?
It sounds good.
So now, I bet if we put our minds to it, we probably would come up with an area like this at every land because you have the Stav Church, and that changes up inside with displays.
Sure.
In Norway. Mexico, like we mentioned before, we had Coco's the exhibit, but that had been different things in the past also.
Yeah.
England, I draw a blank as far as like a display area.
They kind of use the windows for that.
True.
You know what I mean? The windows on the streets.
And the cottage gift shop. A lot of those change with kind of different pop culture that's going through the UK. So there was a lot of Winnie the Pooh, and then they did some of the bands. And then Downton Abbey went through there. So yeah, a little bit through the gift shop.
Okay, so perfect. It's still following the trend. Over in France, maybe it would be the same thing with the storefronts, although I don't really even see that much of the storefronts.
No, I think France, I think France and Italy, I had a hard time when we were thinking about this, that, they don't really have a spot where something changes out culturally or current with the times.
Right. Nice to see those places, and maybe we'll see some in the future. Okay, so that ended up being not a bad spin. We got to talk about a couple of different things.
Although, you got to be honest, when it first came up, we were all going, what is that?
Oh, totally. Well, that's, again, that's what's so fun about this game is that, I was blown away with that
Google,
one.
Google, what two is this?
And two. But once somebody mentioned what room it was in, and then I was like, oh, the Terracotta Soldiers room. So I totally got it. And then I remembered actually seeing the Shanghai exhibit in there. So very cool. Okay, Sam, you're up.
All right. Get my cape out of the way. And one, two, three.
Okay.
Keep going, baby. Keep going. Give me something good.
What do you think? The pork.
I don't know. I'm hoping for studios, but, you know, it's going to land where it's going to land.
Well, here we
go. I'm thinking Animal Kingdom.
That's usually where
Slowing
I end
down.
Up. You're right.
And it's...
For the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along. That is great.
Oh, you got your Hollywood studio.
I got studios.
Nice.
I got studios for the first time in forever. So, although usually when I'm sitting in there, I'm thinking about the old Lucille Ball, the Superstar Television thing. But that's way back when.
A long time ago. So explain what it is first, and then we'll even discuss if it's still open at this point.
That's a good question because I don't know. So for the first time in forever is the Frozen sing-along stage show that started back in the Premier Theater, kind of rushed in at the height of Frozen's popularity. I can remember going in there with my daughter and being in standing room only inside that theater on the sides. So essentially it's a combination of live actors that are somewhat comedic along with clips from the show and some jokes that the adults get and singing through Frozen. It's fun. If you have a little girl, you have to do it.
I thought it was not bad. What was the show that was in there right before it? What was the TV show?
You know, that theater, And by the way, it turned into the Hyperion Theater just before, for the first time in forever, moved in. Prior to that, it was the Superstar Theater, I think. And that's where Doug Live was. It's where Superstar Television was.
Keep going.
And I'm off the top of my head, I'm not remembering what else was in there.
You guys...
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That's nope. Where American Idol was, right?
That's the one, American Idol. That was the last one in there, just to help people place where this is.
Yeah, the American Idol experience. Do you guys ever do that? Anyone?
On stage or in the audience?
Either way. So in the audience first, I have not.
I have. Yeah, many, many times. That was, again, the one with the kids loved to do that one.
Did the kids audition at all, Ed?
No. They loved to watch. How about you guys?
I saw it once. I enjoyed that show. It was a lot of fun.
No, I never saw it as the American Idol show, but the Frozen Ever After sing-along, whether it's the regular one that runs or the holiday special, because I do add a little bit of...
The holiday sounds great. Tell us about the holiday special, because I've seen it, but not in person.
They do, Olaf comes out at the end. They do it like an extra song. There's a little bit more holiday inspiration just towards the end. So you get a little bit longer show, I think. I think whether it's either show, it's hilarious. I've taken my adult friends there. It's always one we have to stop. And my tip is I wait till the very end, right before the show's going to start and come in. And I've always been put in the front row if it's just one or two of us. And my son, he's two. He thinks it's hilarious. He sings and everything, too. The snow at the end, it's wonderful.
Isn't that what Walt Disney World's all about? Right there, what you just said.
It is.
Yep. It is.
I should clarify. I had seen the American Idol show once. Frozen, for the first time in forever, I've seen many, many times with my children.
Okay.
It's good. Yep. And even with my older children, it's good. I will be honest, since Galaxy's Edge has opened, I run past this place. So.
The first time I was in there, I was trying to vote for my favorite song. The things on the chairs were still there, the push button from American Idol. And again, that's what made American Idol so fun. You get to choose the winner.
I got to tell you, though, the comedic, the cast members were great, and they made that, and I hope this thing comes back. I'm really not certain if it's going or not right now, but the comedic performance just made this, and they do so many inside jokes, and Let It Go comes up all the time.
The first
funny.
Couple that did that in the beginning when they first started it was the couple that did the Star Wars weekends. They were the ones that ran the
Snake and Oogie.
Yes.
And Hyperspace Hoopla.
They were the couple, and they dressed them up in their... Frozen. What's the city? The town? The
Arendelle.
Land? Yes,
see, I know
Arendelle. Where? And they looked great, and they were hilarious. You're right. The whole
their bit is different every time that I've seen it. I've gone back to back weeks before, and even that I think it's the same couple I'm thinking of. They have different jokes every time, and it's just a little bit funny or funnier, I think. And so it's great even to go back.
Yep, they play the audience, which always makes a great show.
Is it open now?
I think I heard it reopened like in the last week or two. But
one of those every other row things, and that's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, that's a relatively okay spin.
Yeah, that wasn't that bad. That wasn't that bad. Let's do the wheel. Let's do another one. See how that goes.
Heads up.
Okay. And there. Okay, it's going. Do this for a second as it starts to slow down. It's taking a little longer.
It is.
And it's the affection section. The affection section. Is that the affection station? Is that the same thing?
I'm afraid to Google this, but
I think it's in the animal kingdom. The petting zoo area.
Right. Kingdom. I never heard it called the section, but I'll buy that. And yes,
I think the station is in general where the train takes you. Then once you're there, there's multiple things to do.
Okay, well, fair enough. I have been there once.
This, by the way, is not open right now, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think it's going to open until later.
They find a way to sanitize animals each time. this is in the Animal Kingdom. And it is the train that takes you back to the
Rafiki's Planet Watch, right?
Right, exactly. Which is a really cool area in the backstage area of Animal Kingdom that lets you kind of see how they take care of animals. And part of this on the outside, as you, I guess, as you're coming up to the entrance to this exhibit, to this building, if you go past it to the left, you come to the petting zoo. And, you know, standard goats type of animals, things like that. Have you guys been in there?
I was in there for the first time last year during the Nerds meetup, actually. Nice. I'd never made the train ride over, but my son, I thought, would really enjoy it. So we took the train over, and I was really surprised by how big it was back there and how many different animals were available. And we thought that the animal hospital that's adjacent, it's kind of on the inside building, was really neat. We didn't get to see any animals, but that it was there. But we've learned, when this came up, I thought about the Josh Gad show on Disney Plus with, in partnership with Nat Geo, I think, where they did the behind the scenes on Animal Kingdom this fall. And they talked about a lot of the animals that were in there. One of the chickens, Speckles, I think was his name. you got to meet him. So I'm really excited to go back and see if I recognize any animals after watching the show and learning about them.
The chicken was the closest thing you're going to get to Hey Hey. Is that the guy from Moana? He really was that, like, kind of odd looking, but lovable. I mean, that was a really good show. And yes, I watch that all the time. That's a fun thing. And this is really gets you close to it. It's not actually the petting zoo part, but what Melissa was talking about, the indoor area, you can actually see operations happening as they're happening inside there, which is incredible. Then they open it up and they answer questions, and they'll do a lot of things in there just to kind of show you how to get along with animals and conservation and things like that. Very good.
They had one of the animation academies back there, maybe last summer or the summer before. Well, not 2020, clearly, but maybe the one before, where you could go back there and they had an animation class to draw some of the animals, some of the animal characters from Disney, which was kind of cool. I didn't get a chance to do
it. Yeah, that was going on last fall also. It's in that same rotunda of the building that's next to this affection section.
Yeah, and that was sort of after they closed the Academy over at Studios Ed. That's where it popped up, which is kind of cool.
Right. It's
There's
a really
so many
pretty
animals
area.
In Disney's animal. In Disney's catalog. I mean, come on.
Sure. Oh, no doubt. There's a ton. Okay, guys. I think we have time for one more, and we could just do
we're
it
doing
for
another
everybody.
Spin.
So we're going to do one more spin tonight. And
do two
I
more.
Tell
Let's
you what.
Newbies take it.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough. Christy, you can do this one.
All righty. Okay. I'm ready, and here we go.
Okay, here it goes.
This wheel's really a lot bigger than you would think it. It's huge.
Well, it takes a little while to go. There it goes around again. And
it's
going around
like
again.
It's a Price's Right wheel, but just sideways.
Starting to slow down. And it's Walt Disney Presents.
Ooh, back in studios.
Yep, we didn't get far.
So this area, so it's been a while since I've been in this area, so feel free to help me out. But in this area, they have another one of those kind of changing exhibits that features the most current movie, right? Like, I think that the last time that I was in there was for their Frozen 2 preview that they did, where you could go in, they had a little bit of artwork for Frozen 2, and then a clip of Into the Unknown. But then that's in the back. The front part is like a museum of Walt Disney's history and like Walt Disney the person, his history, and some history of the parks, and then some concept art maybe for some upcoming attractions or some other parks of other countries. But I've always really enjoyed this area.
For a long time, it was one of my go-to spots, right? Because Walt Disney Presents is the general building that you see right as you go around the corner into Toy Story Land. And it's kind of divided into three things. It's One Man's Dream, which is what you were just talking about, right? That's the history and the journey from Mickey Mouse to the Magic Kingdom is how they say it on the marquee. Then recently, it's also turned into a meet and greet area where it was Star-Lord for a little while. It was, Sully for a little while. And then it's also the movie, which sometimes is One Man's Dream as the movie, and other times it's the preview for whatever's coming next. Right. But the history they can't change. Disney can't change their history. And everything about Walt in this particular area, I love. The model of Toy Story Land that was in there, the model of Galaxy's Edge that was in there, just love it.
Well, the cool studio they have in there of Walt doing the Epcot presentation is really kind of nice to stand up there for pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And right across it is the animatronic Abe Lincoln.
Yes. Awesome.
Did anyone else, many years ago, you used to be able to go through, and I think you filled out like a trivia questionnaire, or maybe scavenger hunt type thing, and then if you turned it into a cast member at the end of your one man's dream kind of tour, you got a certificate as like a Disney historian expert or something like that. I can't recall what it was, but we did it and we got it. But they're not doing it anymore. Did anyone else do that?
No, I would have loved to, though. That sounds great.
Same here. I don't think I've done that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. My husband and I did it one year, and it was like a little pin that we got that said, you know, we finished the challenge or something.
I never thought of sending people into one man's dream for the scavenger hunt.
Oh, no.
It changes a lot. Right? Remember Walt's desk in there? It's not there now, but that was great.
Okay, so now one man's dream, and we're getting off of the movie theater, but unfortunately Walt Disney Presents Movie Theater, yeah, there's not that much going. But one man's dream, the thing we always looked for was the little boy's bedroom. Not the little boy, but the kid's bedroom. Because that would always change. It was way at the back of the exhibit where they do the meet and greet now. And the kids' room would have different games on the shelf, or it'd have books or videos or DVDs, things like that. And every time we'd go, every couple of years, it was always updated with the newest Game Boy or new things like that. Very cool.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Okay. So we'll do one more spin. And this one will be for Melissa. So let's get the wheel ready to go, and all you.
All right, 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Woo. One last wheel, man. I'm going to have to repair that afterwards, get a little more oil on there. Still going around, although I hear
it's been
creaking
in the attic a little while.
Yeah. Okay. Slowing down. And it's Monsters Incorporated Laugh Floor.
Magic Kingdom, baby.
Oh, this is so much fun to do, no matter what age you are. I have never been that guy, but my father-in-law was. And he had no idea. I don't even think he'd seen the movie. And so he did not know what was going on, but he took it with stride. So cool. For anyone who doesn't know what this attraction is, it's in Tomorrowland in Magic Kingdom. And you get to submit jokes while you're waiting in the queue. And then you file into the auditorium, and our job is to fill that laugh canister with as many laughs to make sure Roz stays happy. And so the monsters tell jokes and things, and it's a live show, much like Turtle Talk with Crush, so they interact with you. It's a lot of fun. I would love to know the technology behind it and learn more about those monsters. They're fun to meet.
Oh, no doubt. One of my favorites. The family's favorites, I should say. The kids were right perfect age for when this place opened up, and we went there a lot. I was that guy one time. Sam?
I was as well one time. It was fun.
Yeah, definitely was.
Has anyone had a joke accepted by the monsters to
tell? My daughter had one, but I can't remember what it was right now. But yeah, we were freaking out because that was the first time it actually got through. And when you submit your joke, you're basically doing it via text to a number that they're giving you online. And then they basically, I guess, keep track of them so they know what shows or what people are in what show. This was a really cool pre-show and queue. Even just the walking around queue before you get to the main room where you have that pre-show is pretty cool.
I like reading all the little notes and job postings and things on the walls. That's definitely fun.
Yep, little monster-sized doors and big monster-sized doors.
You got to love the interaction in there and just the people that are acting as the the cast and calling out people in the audience and what they're mm-hmm. wearing and their shirt colors. And it's an evolution of the Living Character Initiative. And it's just awesome sure. the way that they do that digital puppetry. It's great.
It's great because they have live actors who can see into the audience and basically mm-hmm. make fun of people or, you know, take advantage of different things. They can have people kind of, I guess, combine in and make a better joke. Kind of Turtle Talk with Crush-ish, where you definitely can see people in the audience.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And you have some great characters, especially, of course, Mike Wazowski.
And his nephew, right? I'm blanking mm-hmm. on his name.
Oh, yeah. What is his name?
I don't remember Mike's nephew's name, but it's good.
Because he does the jokes. He'll read the jokes at the end of the bit. Really great place. It's located in Tomorrowland along the Avenue, I call that, or across from Stitch's Great Escape, the old ride that's no longer there officially. And right before you get to Buzz Lightyear.
Marty is Mike's nephew.
There you go.
Yeah, I just looked that up too. Yeah.
Definitely great ride. The biggest question I had from the day it opened up until now is, did somebody not figure out that somebody would use the acronym for this ride down the road?
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
So,
nope,
anyway.
Never recognized that till now, Ed.
Other than that, really, really great ride. And to be honest with you, to take the storyline from the movies and change it from scream to laughter, great. Perfect. Made it all the difference.
Yeah, I think that's one of my why it's one of my favorites is it's not a retelling of one of their stories, Monsters University or the original. It's kind of embodying that. You get to go into that world for a moment and one building, one attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very fun. Okay, guys. So that was a really fun Wheel of Attraction session. That was really good.
It wasn't bad. Spin it one more time. Come on.
You know what, Sam? I think I will. This is the first show of 2021, Wheel of Attraction. We will go one more time.
Let's do it.
Spin it when you're ready.
Am I doing it?
You are.
Oh, yeah, baby. All right, here we go. One, two, three.
There it goes.
Okay. All right, sometimes I got to not spin it so hard.
I'm hoping for another Magic Kingdom one. We haven't had a lot of Magic Kingdom representation.
We haven't.
True.
No.
Slowing down. We'll see.
All right. Let's see. What do we got?
Impressions de France.
Impressions de France.
Not Magic Kingdom.
Is it Impressions de France or is it the Beauty and the Beast sing-along? It's
or
not a sing-along.
It's both.
Per se. Mm-hmm.
Or is it both?
It's both. That's right. It's both. Mm-hmm. Both.
Didn't they say there's
answer.
A third thing in there also we were talking about the other day? There was an announcement of something else that was going to be in there in addition to those two things.
But, so I guess the question is Impressions de France the movie, I'm assuming, which clearly was shot sometime in the mid to late 70s and then turned into the France movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's still the original one, right?
Yes, as far
it
as
sure
I know.
Looks like it when you watch it.
Yes, I thought that they were updating the movie, though. And the Beauty and the Beast sing-along is the interim. Hasn't done super well with fan surveys. But I thought that that was on the list of redos after they did the updated China's video and Canada's.
Those videos seem to take forever. I thought they were combining them. But yeah, you're right. It could have been a good interim till they had it done. Although it's going to probably be second fiddle to Ratatouille once it opens.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll be the case.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a good video. I mean, what else at Epcot has been there for since the beginning? I don't know that I can think of anything else.
To me, this one hits me with the music because I'll hear the music and enjoy it, but then I'll hear the music outside the parks and be able to kind of relate to where it came from and stuff like that.
Yeah, the castle in the movie is impressive. It's one of those scenes where you go, wow, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids love it when all the dogs come out.
We had a really, wonderful experience one year. My husband's grandmother grew up in France through World War II and then emigrated here to the U.S. And so it was her first time visiting Epcot. We took her there and we wanted to make sure we went to the France Pavilion. And so we got to watch the original, you know, Impressions de France movie. And it was so great to see her face. And she did laugh that it seemed very old, that some of the things were outdated, like they were still using francs instead of euros and paying for things. But then afterwards, we got to sit along the where the fountains are. And she really talked a lot about living in France and during the war and things. And it was this really beautiful experience. And I remember just sitting there and we had some macarons and baguettes and things and sitting and listening to her. So really appreciated Disney having that video so that we could kind of spur her memories and learn that about her. She's in her 90s now, so it's important that we hear those stories now.
And I say keep it then. You just completely changed my mind. It doesn't need updated. That's cool. I mean, awesome the hot air balloon scene in this and the castle, I think they're great.
Oh, that's right. I forgot the balloons. Yeah, you're right. You're right. There is a lot of good little parts to this. And it's a nice, relaxing, air-conditioned break as you're walking around the World Showcase, no doubt.
Ending in the Eiffel Tower, if I remember right.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, if you were to compare this to some of the other old movies that used to be in Epcot, the Norway one just screamed 1980s. This one doesn't as much.
I mean, well, it's not as many people
older than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Yep. Very nice. Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 374. What'd you think? Did we get to some of the attractions you like? Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
Where did he come from?
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, thanks, Jimmy. For Sam, Christy, Melissa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kongaloosh.
Ta-ta for now.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.